are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner Wednesday, March 16th, 2022. Follow on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, where the DMs are always open. And subscribe so you get this bad boy once it drops. We will talk to Tom Casale, college basketball analyst for NBC Sports Edge. Tom's got a fistful of NCAA tournament bets he's made. We're lockstep on a couple, including Colgate and Loyola, plus the trials and tribulations when it comes to battling the betting psychology. Interesting stuff coming up later on in the show with Tom Casale. Tried to tell you, tried to warn you, we were going to blast Bryant over Sunday night, and we did. Market opened 151.5. Most outs opened 152, and that was time to slam. Got over 152, Bryant and Wright State, and I'm looking at the board right now. The market mostly 155, but a couple 155.5s. Circa, Westgate, Caesars. It looks like Heritage all have 155 in the hook. If you followed this show, you know this line runs. This total, rather, will run. And I hate that I have to answer questions on a Wednesday morning. Hey, do we like over 155.5? I don't know how much more clear I could have made it. Talked about it all last week. Tweeted it out Sunday, over 152. That's the move. That was the number to get. You get 152, you tie. 153 and higher is a winner. If you're late to the party, 156 is the magic number, and that's 4 points off what we need. So always pay attention, especially with Bryant. And if they beat Wright State, I'm telling you right now, this will be a total. Bryant, Arizona, you will have to get immediately at post. I was talking with Vegas Rick. He says this could be 115-80. I don't think the gap is that big. I'll be curious to see the point spread. I'm going to guess it'll be Arizona 22.5. Arizona 23. That feels right. As I say that, I'm like, I don't know if I'd take those points. I want to. I love Peter Kiss, but I don't know that they can hang with Arizona. That's a game, though, that will be up and down, up and down, up and down. And no total is safe. Thing is, when the books open that number, they can't open it 165 or 170. You just can't do that. I imagine that total opens 158, 159. And as I told you, there could be 190 points in this game, if not more. So I'm rooting for Bryant tonight. Not going to take the side. It did come down quite a bit. Opened at essentially a pick'em. Wright State got the early bag, though. Up to 3, 3.5. We were hoping to see some fours. Never quite got to 4, from what I can understand. And now the 3.5s have turned into 3s and 2.5s. But we're going to let that go. Over. Points, points, points. That's the play on a Wednesday night. Those that have been following and listening for years to Chicken Dinner, opening weekend, specifically, the Thursday-Friday slates are my favorite to attack. I went back and looked at last year, 7-3 Thursday and Friday, and then I think 3-1 Saturday and Sunday. I love the opening week because it's a balancing act for many bettors when you have perception on one side and reality on the other. I found my strategy is to attack the upper-class underdogs and the undervalued favorites. And I'm going to rip through these real quick. Tweeted these out at Chicken X Dinner late on Tuesday night. Got 6 on Thursday, 4 on Friday. And I wrote this up on Nesson.com and shared that as well. So I will go in rotational order. These are not by strength. I like them all pretty much the same. My favorite ones are Colgate, Davidson, and Iowa, but everything is flat. I'm going to play them all the same like I always do. So we'll start with Vermont and Arkansas. This one's a little trendy, the Catamounts, but I really don't give a damn. I've been bullish on Vermont all season. I knew this would make the card. Vermont has a very slow crawl. They're methodical. Slow tempo, crisp passing, smooth shooting. They make the extra pass, that hockey pass. Very unselfish basketball team. And it's the type of play that can just needle you to death if you're not prepared for it. Arkansas, I know, better athletes, more NBA prospects. But Vermont is a senior-laden squad. Four seniors start for Vermont. And they played together for years. This number got as high as 6.5. I think it got dummied. Got dummied up. Professionals came back, took 6.5 and 6 and 5.5. And as I look at the board right now on a late Wednesday morning, it looks like Vermont is pretty much 5 everywhere. I don't think it's going to get back up. If anything, you might see late chase on the dog. So I will take the 5 with Vermont. They could easily win this game outright. If the shots fall, they've got a shot. That's a lot of teams, though, in college basketball. Casale and I talk about this later. We're in agreement that if Colgate makes their shots, it will win. If Vermont makes its shots, it will win. That's part of the game in college basketball, especially with these upper-class underdogs. They've got to stick their jumpers. You're not making shots in college basketball, you're not winning games. So that's number one. Second play on the sheet, I was really like, oh, man, I missed 9. I missed 9.5. Does it really matter with Iowa? This is one of those games where Iowa wins by 3 or by 23. I don't feel like there's much of a middle ground, and I'm on the latter side where if they play their A game, the Hawkeyes, they could name the final score. I always talk about right team and right price, and I'm sitting there. I think this was on Monday night. I'm like, oh, I should lay 9. But there was support for Richmond. And here we are, 10.5 pretty much everywhere now on Wednesday. Don't think it matters. If anything, I'd rather lay 10.5 if you have 10.5 before it gets to 11 or 11.5 or 12 by tip-off. Total mismatch. Iowa is sort of like Richmond on steroids. Iowa is Sammy Sosa in 98. Richmond is Sammy Sosa in 92, if that makes any sense. And I'm not going to fret the difference between 9 and 10 in a game that Iowa can easily win by 15. This surprised some people. Providence, -2 against South Dakota State. Really pissed some people off on Friday night when I brought up Providence's national title odds. Was I a little lenient? Was I sort of getting into the Providence people a little bit? Probably, but look, suck it up. You can't talk about how great you are at 25-4, lose by 30 in a conference tournament game, and then tell me, oh, you don't watch the games. I watch the games, trust me. I study the markets more than I watch the games, yes, but I've seen Providence play. And they're not winning the national championship. I don't think that's too crazy to say. And one book now has Providence at 250-1. They're not winning the title. But it doesn't mean I don't respect what they did and that they can't swat away South Dakota State. 5 years ago, this line is probably 4.5, 5. But that public underdog, in this case, the Jackrabbits, are getting a ton of love. I think it's a good time to buy low on Providence. We all watched it Friday night. That plays into the line. If Providence loses by 2 or 3, this line is 3.5, 4, 4.5. I think the true number is closer to 5. No accident that Providence won the Big East regular season crown. I will lay this small number and buy low on Providence. Michigan laid 140 on the money line. We hear the point guard is not going to play now. That's no good, but I still think the backup is just fine. The key for Michigan is to get the ball inside, and that is to Hunter Dickinson. They pounded the rock inside for the first 25 minutes of that game against Indiana and then stopped giving him the ball. They blew a 60-43 lead. Indiana wins the game on a crazy 28-4 run. I still can't believe it happened. But I'm still going to take Michigan to advance behind their skill and their potential and their talent. Think about the Mountain West. It wasn't that great this year. And I'm not laying two. At the time I sent these out, 2.5 was the consensus line, and that number's come down a bit because of the point guard not being able to go, concussion protocol. But I'm not laying 1.5, 2.5. I'm not doing it in this spot. I think Michigan is a scary team in a lot of ways. They're scary when they're clicking, but they're also scary with a lead. And they could easily be up 4, give up a 3, win by 1, money line. That's it. Move on. This one will take some thick skin. Not for the faint of heart when you go against the number one overall seed in the tournament. Took Georgia State plus 23.5 against Gonzaga. And you know Zaga's going to be up 20-25 at some point in this game. But honestly, I don't think Gonzaga's backcourt is anywhere near as good as it was last year when they had 2 lottery picks and a very good guard in Joel Ayayi. Jalen Suggs, gone. Corey Kispert, gone. Chet Holmgren and Drew Timmy are really good players. Holmgren's going to be a top 2-3 pick in the NBA draft. Timmy's an amazing college player. But Georgia State has won 10 in a row. They've got 3 senior guards, and I think they're going to play all the way down to the core. All 40 minutes. Whether they're down 12 or 28, those guys are going to play all the way down to the end. And they're going to fight all the way down to the end. It's not pretty. You probably hate it. But I'm taking the points with the Pirates. And the last one on Thursday, Akron plus 14. The Zips, who don't zip. They suck the life out of the game. They crawl up the floor. Ken Pomeroy says Akron is 351st in the nation in tempo. There's 358 teams. That style will be a struggle for UCLA. Talent, speed, skill, up and down the floor. And pay attention to the total. Oddsmakers opened this at 129. Already down to 127 at a couple shops. I figure if Akron gets to 55, we'll be all right. You just can't have that UCLA run out of the gate when they go up 22-4. That will kill us. Akron is not recovering from that. But if they're up at the half, 24-23, going to cover. If UCLA's up by 4, I like my chances. Taking the points, though, with John Gross, former Illinois head coach. 4 on Friday, Davidson plus the 1 against Michigan State. This is very simple. Sparty is favored because of the name on the front of the jersey. And I've loved putting my money on Tom Izzo in the tournament for 15 years now. 15 years I've been betting this guy in the tournament. But to think that he can just wave his magic wand and advance is incorrect. Sparty has only made it out of the opening weekend 1 time in the last 5 tournaments. And 2 of those times, they lost in the first game. And this year's squad is not great. But Davidson has a top 10 offense in several metrics, and the Wildcats start 4 upperclassmen. Foster Lawyer, former Michigan State point guard, now the point guard at Davidson. You can't make this stuff up. Davidson is a good basketball team. I like them to win this game. That's not too bold as a 1-point underdog, but I don't think Michigan State is all that great. Definitely not great. I don't think they're all that good. Colgate, Casale will wax poetic on this later. We agree on the fighting toothpaste. Back in the dance. Last year, they had a 13 or 14-point lead against Arkansas early in that game. And then Arkansas just ripped their throats out later. Colgate was winning, and before you knew it, they lost by 17. But 4 starters back, and the offense is even better from downtown. Colgate is number 2 in the country from the 3-point line, 40%. And there are 4 people on the floor that can make a 3 with consistency. That doesn't really shape up well for Wisconsin. They don't shoot well. Johnny Davis is banged up clearly. And it's not like they're going to outskill and outrun Colgate. This is a bad, bad matchup for the Badgers. Brush your teeth and look out for the upset here. Plus 270 or higher on the money line for Colgate. Two more. Texas, minus 115. Does anybody like Texas in this game? Every show I've watched, it's Virginia Tech. Hokies, Hokies, Hokies. And that'll happen when a team like Virginia Tech stuns North Carolina and Duke to cut down the nets in the ACC tournament. But Chris Beard, his team has been in a couple close games down the stretch. And I think he has their attention now. I'll buy this cheap price on Texas just north of a pick'em, minus 115. I think the Big 12 is the best conference in the country, at least at the top. You give me Texas, Baylor, Texas, Texas Tech against any other foursome, I'll take them. And Texas didn't play well in its conference tournament. Virginia Tech cut down the nets. That explains why the line is where it is. I still like Texas. Last game, Loyola. We've been playing Loyola a lot on this show. Rode them all the way to the Final Four in 2018. Played them, I believe, last year. Yeah, last year against Illinois in the second round when I flipped on my bracket. I had Illinois going to the Final Four, and then in the second round I said Loyola's going to beat Illinois. Loyola does one thing extremely well. They take away your best weapon. And for Ohio State, there's only one weapon, E.J. Liddell. Two guys have been banged up. Kyle Young has a concussion, and Zed Key has missed three of four games with an ankle injury. So who's going to score for Ohio State aside from Liddell? You could give Liddell 25. I don't think they will. I think they're going to double and triple team him. But even if he gets 25 or 30, who else is scoring? The Ramblers are going to take away Liddell or do their best like they did with Kofi Coburn last year. They are tough to shoot on, especially from three. Very good perimeter defense. And they have what we call balance. Loyola can have five guys score 10 points. Easily. Ohio State can't. Even if the Bucks get reinforcements and they get back Young and Key, which I doubt, Loyola plays hard, methodical, physical basketball. And that'll be good enough to beat Ohio State. Those are my 10. We'll wrap it up again later and give them to you one more time. But there's a lot of interesting markets in this year's NCAA tournament. And shop around, look at your different books. The Final Four markets are always interesting. Gonzaga, for example. You can find so many different numbers on Gonzaga. To make the Final Four, here's the range. Minus 139, minus 141, minus 150, minus 160, minus 185, minus 200. Where are you going? You're going to lay 200 or 139? Duh. These prices are different for all these teams because these books need different things. Superbook has some interesting props. I love Kansas team wins over 2.5 plus 100. Big 12 conference wins over 9.5, even money. Head-to-heads, they've got a couple interesting head-to-heads. Who has more wins, Gonzaga or Arizona? Well, probably Gonzaga. Oh, but wait, the Zags are minus 240. Arizona is 2-1. They've got individual teams. I mentioned Kansas. How many wins will Kentucky have? 2.5. Wisconsin, 1.5. Tennessee, 2.5, under minus 70. And the head-to-heads, as I mentioned, Kansas, Arizona, both minus 110. Tennessee, minus 140. Texas Tech, plus 120. UCLA, minus 20. Iowa, even. Providence, minus 40. Michigan State, plus 120. I like that Providence one. A lot to get to here. Will Wisconsin make the Sweet 16? No. Yes, plus 140. Will Providence make the Sweet 16? Plus 375. Largest margin of victory in the first round, 36.5. I'd probably go under. Will a number one seed win the NCAA tournament? Yes, even money. Number one seeds in the Final Four, 1.5, over, plus 10. There's a lot at these books in Nevada. They explode the board for the tournament. A lot more options at the Westgate, at Circa, at Stations. And check them out. If you have somebody going to Vegas, have them send you the sheet. Jeff Benson from Circa tweeted this out, at JeffreyBenson12. The day before a given game, we will hang first team to 10, first team to 15, largest lead, and the first field goal to be a 2 or a 3. Degeneracy. And Dave Mason, Bet Online, he's got this market up. Will the NCAA champion come from a red state or a blue state? And you signify the result by which way the state went in the 2020 presidential election. Red minus 160 and the blue plus 120. Two more quick things before we get to Tom Casale. And we're going to do a lot of baseball in the next show this week. I got to zip through this tournament stuff because the dance will start tomorrow. But you have to talk about Tom Brady coming back and the fallout from that. The odds shift, massive. The Bucks to win the Super Bowl were as high as 60-1 in Vegas late last week. And you look at the board now, plus 750 FanDuel, plus 750 FoxBet, 8-1 MGM, 850 at Barstool, DraftKings, PointsBet, 9-1 Circa, 10-1 Caesars, 10-1 Superbook. They're the second favorite at a couple of these books. And it has not made some Vegas bookmakers all too happy. Did you see what Pro Football Talk published about the Superbook and the integrity fees? Todd Dewey had the initial story in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. A sharp bettor placed a large bet on Thursday for the Bucks to win the NFC at 30-1 and the Super Bowl at 60-1. After the odds were dropped to 25-1 for the Super Bowl, the bettor hit the Bucks again. Bam, bam. Jay Cornegay quoted in these stories, he believes that significant bets were placed on the Bucks because of inside information, knowing that Brady would unretire. And Cornegay wants the NFL to look into it. Here's the quote. There's not a doubt in my mind they knew he was coming back when they placed these wagers on Thursday. And these were not casual bettors. They would be categorized as educated bettors. Not a guy with a Tom Brady jersey at the counter. It was a player we describe as sharp. Jay adds, there is no doubt in my mind that information leaked sometime in the middle of last week, and this is concerning. I don't think I've ever said the NFL really needs to investigate something, but this is something they need to look into and how it got out, because there are many books that took some sizable wagers in the middle of last week. End quote. Here's the way I see it. Before you start saying nobody's going to cry for the books, think about it this way. When I was hosting at VSiN, PASPA went down and sports betting became legal across the country on a state-by-state basis. The leagues wouldn't stop talking about this word, the biggest buzzword in the space, integrity. Integrity, integrity, integrity. The word after integrity is fees, integrity fees. Sportsbooks literally have to pay the leagues a monthly fee to be partners. And the NFL has the largest fee. I'm told it's just shy of $10,000 a month. 10 times 12, you do the math. But the books are clearly getting tired of this integrity shit because the NFL never shares anything with the books. So it's a one-way street. And it makes sense. At no point did the NFL go, hey, psst, we're hearing that Brady might be coming back. You may want to lower those odds. That never happened. So in that case, it is BS that the books have to pay the price to be partners, but the partnership only goes one way. Hey, Brady's coming back. His agent just called the league office. We're going to drop the paperwork. That never happens. So the NFL gets these fees to supply the data and the sport radar stuff, but they don't help their supposed betting partners by giving them the heads up. And it's not like it takes all that long. It's a phone call or an email list or whatever Attention, partners. Tom Brady might be coming back. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That doesn't happen. And that's why the sports books are upset. Wouldn't you be too? I'd be pissed. So that's the way I see that situation. And we'll see going forward if these sports leagues are willing to help the partners that pay the piper to be partners. I told you we'll talk a lot about baseball. I want to zip through the best record markets, make miss the playoffs, divisional odds, World Series title. But we'll do that later on this week. One more time for the boys and girls. Let's go, Bryant. Let's go, Wright State. Don't care who wins. I'm pulling for Bryant, but we need points. Points, 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 points. Over 152. Joining us again on Chicken Dinner, it must be March if Tom Casale is going to join us at the Tom Casale, working now as an analyst for NBC Sports Bet. And you and I, we have a problem, buddy. We brush our teeth too much. I know you didn't play them last year. You were on the right side with Arkansas Colgate. I jumped into the Colgate pool last year and felt amazing when they had a double-digit lead early in that game. And I cried at the end when Arkansas ran them out of the gym to win by 17. I was a winner, then I was a loser. But I'm at that point in my March Madness life where I have way too much on the line on Colgate.
Oh, I'm with you. I like Colgate this year. You know, if that's a team, I live only a couple hours away from the campus, so it's a team I follow closely. And last year I just thought they had a bad matchup with a team that's going to play the same style, but is faster, is bigger, is deeper, and they would wear them down. And luckily I was on the right side there. I think they get a nice matchup here with Wisconsin. You have a team that shoots the ball well in Colgate. They're experienced. They're going to spread you out. Their weakness is rebounding, but Wisconsin's not a great rebounding team. So I wouldn't like Colgate if they played somebody that could really crash the boards on them. So I think as long as they're not, you know, ice cold, listen, they go 3 for 25 from three, we're going to lose. But, you know, barring that, I think they have a good chance to win this game.
That's any team, though. I try and tell people that. They're like, yeah, well, if they don't make their shots, they're not going to win. Well, no shit. If you don't make your shots in college basketball, nobody's going to win. And I think there's something to be said about a team that goes to the dance last year from a smaller conference, whether it be the Patriot, where the Raiders are from, although I still think they're the toothpaste over the Raiders. If it's the Patriot, the Horizon, the Atlantic 10, America East, when you go to the tournament and get stomped, but still come back and make it the following year, I love that angle when a lot of the same guys return, and they might be even better on offense this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it reminds me of a team years ago. Vermont went to the tournament and got smoked by Arizona. It was a bad matchup. The next year they went, they were experienced. They had been there. They played Syracuse, which was a good matchup, and they sent Syracuse home in the first round. I think this is a very similar situation where the matchup really favors Colgate to keep this. I love them against the number, but you know, I took a little on the money line as well.
Taylor Coppenrath and TJ Sorrentine, are we talking the same language here?
Oh, yeah. I was in school in Vermont in those days. I said, I got to ride him, baby.
Coppenrath went off in that game, and it was a lower scoring game, which when you think about Colgate and Wisconsin, that's probably what you're headed for. The other thing I've been trying to figure out is the status of Johnny Davis
right.
at Wisconsin. Now, he's going to play. I don't think there's any, you know, truth to the fact that he's not going to play, but is he 60%? Is he 80%? Is he 90%? I'm not hearing anything near 100, and that makes me like it even more. I don't want to spend the entire program on Colgate in Wisconsin, though. Let's move to another game you and I are lockstep on, Loyola and Ohio State. And the Ramblers do one thing extremely well. They take away your best weapon. I don't know, Tom, that Ohio State has more than one weapon, especially knowing how Kyle Young has looked over the last month or so, and there are reports that he's worse than the Buckeyes are letting on. But if Ohio State can't get secondary scoring outside E.J. Liddell, how do they beat Loyola?
Yeah, this is probably my favorite play. It's one of those things like where you're thinking about fading a team and you're thinking about taking a team, but you're waiting for the matchup and then it's a perfect storm. This is kind of it for me. You know, they're going to defend the three-point line well. Loyola shoots the three-pointer well. It's just a tough matchup for Ohio State. And like you said, I think people forget they were down three players in the Big Ten tournament, and we still don't know the status of any of them. And Kyle Young, I don't know if he's going to play on Friday. And you hit right on the head the key to this game: secondary scoring options for Ohio State. Where are the points going to come from against the Loyola defense that was in that Missouri Valley Conference tournament looked phenomenal? So I really like the Ramblers in this spot.
Loyola can have five guys score 10, but EJ Liddell is going to have to score 25, and then you'll need somebody else to score 15, and I don't think the balance is there, and that's why I'm on Loyola. And I wonder, let's say they rule out Kyle Young for Ohio State, this number is now a pick 'em. Does this go to 2, 2.5, 3? We got to get down now if you haven't, right?
Yeah, I would. I was surprised after the first day the lines went up, it went a little bit towards Ohio State. Now it's starting to settle in more at that even number. Yeah. If Loyola's on their game, I'm going to be completely honest with you, I don't know if this game is close.
I can't believe you're knocking out my Illini in the fucking first round, dude.
You like Illinois minus the points?
I went to Illinois.
No, I know. But it's why I respect you. You always have a good read on them.
I'm nervous about the way that Chattanooga can lull them into a shootout.
Right.
Illinois, if they just feed Kofi Coburn and establish him inside, get him going, then the defense collapses and the shooters are open, the Plumbers and the Fraziers and the Williams and the Grandisons. But they do this thing when the opposition starts making their shots, they think that they're all Steph Curry and Dennis Scott, and that makes me pull my hair out. I'm worried about Illinois playing away from their strengths and avoiding the 7'1", 260-pound monster.
You and I have the exact same thought process with this game. Illinois reminds me a little bit of Alabama. I don't think they play smart on offense a lot. They should be getting the ball inside, yet they shoot a ton of three-pointers. They're like 51st in three-point scoring rate. That's kind of what I'm thinking here is Chattanooga, slow pace. They got some size down low. They rebound well. Will Illinois revert to just shooting threes? If they do, I think Chattanooga has a good chance to upset them.
Do you have a rhyme or a reason when you go through all your plays? Some guys are like this. I know some pros that they'll write out 10 games in the first round, and they always want to have six dogs and maybe three favorites and one money line favorite. Like, it doesn't have to be that exact every year, but if you put out your five or six favorite plays and they're all favorites, do you have to recalibrate or do you just go with the flow?
I kind of just look at them and go with the way my capping style and how it turns out. I will say that I don't think there's as much value on the underdogs as there used to be. People love betting the underdogs now in the NCAA tournament. There's so much information out there. There's us telling, hey, this team's going to upset this team. And so, you know, I think years ago there was more value. I mean, think about it this way. You know, a team like South Dakota State.
Oh, my God, this line should be 5.5.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And so you want a little bit of value. The reason I don't like Vermont against Arkansas is because I just don't see five as being value. If you're getting 8 or 9 points, even if you capped it wrong, you can be down 13 with, you know, 5 minutes to go and still sneak in the back door.
I wrote down three teams last weekend, and I actually tweeted this out. I said there are three teams that I will look to play in the first round. One of them was Bryant. And I will play them if they can get by Wright State, but that's not a lock by any means because it's a play-in game and they're not getting 3, 3.5. Towson was the second.
Yeah,
they're not in the tournament.
I like them a lot.
And Vermont is the third team, but I'm not even lying to you. I wrote down in my notes Vermont +7 or better. And to your point, if this is 2015 or 2016, we're probably getting the full touchdown here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I would, you know, I wouldn't like the game. That's where I think people, you know, I don't like to preach to people, but I think the one mistake we can make as bettors is falling in love with teams and then liking them no matter what the matchup is. I liked Vermont. I had planned on playing Vermont, but when I saw Arkansas, I just feel like it's recency bias with the SEC. I've heard over the last 48, 72 hours how bad Kentucky is. Well, how many teams in the tournament are Tennessee? Tennessee matches up well with Kentucky. It's, you know, there's not a lot of Tennessees out there. And it was only a couple of days ago, everybody was telling me that Arkansas was going to win the SEC tournament. Now everyone likes Vermont to beat them. I just think it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I'm glad you brought up Providence and South Dakota State, because I was at war with Providence Twitter on Friday night. You know, I made a comment that they were 100-1 to win the national championship as they're getting curb stomped, and every Friar fan north of West Virginia came after me. And I said, look, all I did was bring up their odds and essentially pontificate that they're not winning the national championship. I think you and I could agree on that. Providence is not going all the way. But there's something to be said about a team that could have been a 2 or a 3 seed if they would have won their conference tournament. They get blown out, and everybody watched it because it was a primetime game on a Friday night. If I would have made Providence and South Dakota State before that game against Creighton, it's at least Providence 4.5, 5. At least.
Yeah, that number is way off.
Do we lay Providence? Do we lay 2?
Yeah. I don't have a strong opinion on this game. I do think there's value with Providence. I wouldn't bet South Dakota State. Again, you're betting an upset. You there's no room for error here. And I just think people fall in love with these teams that shoot the lights out, and that's great. But they also have to defend, they have to rebound. You know, there's some areas in this game where Providence has a big edge.
I feel like I shouldn't be this terrified to lay this spread with this team. And I know you're on these guys, but I'm so calculated, and I always talk about right team, right price. Tommy, I wanted to lay 9 with Iowa, and now it's 10, 10.5, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. I can't lay it, but I know they're going to win by 20.
Yeah, this sets up well for Iowa. It really does.
You know what I mean, though, right? Like, I'm upset that I missed the 9.
Yeah, I laid 9. I mean, listen, if I'm laying 9 with a Big Ten team, then you know I really like them, because I'm not all that high on those teams. But this is more of a Richmond fade. I'm always weary of those teams that weren't good enough in the regular season, disappointed, and then got on a little run. I mean, Richmond was down 14 points to Rhode Island in the first A-10 game. They get on a run. I just think it's one of those things. I don't think they match up well at all with Iowa. And whatever you think about teams like Iowa or Purdue, they are kind of made to beat inferior teams badly. That's what they do, and I think Iowa wins this game easily.
It's just funny how it happens to all of us. You might not admit that it happens this many times, but there's always that team, whether it be the NFL or college football. Say it's a college football favorite, and they opened 14 and it gets out to 17. Sometimes we outsmart ourselves because we're like, ah, well, I missed the 14 and now it's 17 and they win by 35. That happens to me sometimes, and it doesn't just have to be Iowa. It's knowing that 1 point with a high-powered basketball team usually doesn't make the difference if the script goes as planned.
Yeah, but I do the same thing. I mean, I couldn't even count how many times this year where I had a certain number and it was a point or two off, and I was like, I'm not going to touch it. The game wasn't even close. So I think we all do that because we have a number in our head that we feel comfortable betting. When it's not there, we look at other options.
The first pick on your write-up, and you got to check Tom out on NBC Sports Edge and NBC Sports Bet, at the Tom Casale on Twitter, is an interesting one, because I think you have a Houston team that should be higher than a 5 in a UAB team where I don't think is really getting any respect. They opened this game, what, Houston 9, and it's still close to that number at Houston -9. But what do you make of this matchup? It's a very interesting one between two teams that I think a lot of people are struggling to figure out.
I think this is going to be a really good game. That's why I took the points with UAB. I think they match up well with Houston. They rebound well. They can shoot the ball. Listen, Houston's got a lot of talent. There's no doubt about it. They lost a couple players during the season. We'll have to see if that impacts them in the tournament. The other thing that concerns me about Houston is they just got their best win of the year on Sunday against Memphis. They've only beaten two teams in the tournament, Memphis and Bryant. Their other good wins are against Oklahoma State, Virginia, Oregon. I'm just wondering, I know the metrics love them. They love Houston. I'm just wondering if they're a little bit overvalued, because I think it's interesting that the committee didn't like them as much as the Twitter metric people like them.
This is interesting because this leads me into a number I want to throw at you at the Superbook in Nevada. They've got really interesting props, and I know most of you listening can't bet these because you're not in Nevada or Colorado or New Jersey. But, Tommy, they have a number on tournament wins for Arizona. And it's 2.5 -110 each way. So they've got to win their first game, which they will, and they've got to beat the winner of Seton Hall TCU, then get by Houston or Illinois. And I think the odds makers are looking at that and saying, well, Arizona is 4.5 on Illinois. Arizona's 3.5 maybe on Houston. But you envision a possibility where Arizona might play Chattanooga or UAB, huh?
Yeah, that's how I have the brackets, you know, turning out. It might not go that way. To be honest, I'll take two covers. If they lose outright, I can live with myself. But I think Arizona matches up pretty well with Illinois, because I think Illinois has some trouble with dribble penetration. I would like him in that game. I would take the over on that 2.5. That seems like a – if I was in Vegas, I'd bet the over. I think when Arizona's right, I think they're as good as any team in the country. Now, yeah, can their defense be exploited a little bit? Sure. But I think they can get three wins in that bracket.
This number is interesting. Who has more wins? Gonzaga -240, Arizona 2-1.
That is interesting. You might have the right person on your show, because I'm the one guy who doesn't think this Zags team is by far and away the best team in college basketball. I thought their team was better last year. I think they've struggled with some athletic teams. There's some athletic teams in that region. Now, listen, are they one of the three or four best teams in the country? Sure.
Yes.
But I am surprised that a lot of people I respect, a lot of smart people, believe Gonzaga is by far and away the best team in the tournament. I don't necessarily agree, so we'll see how it shakes out.
Their guards were better last year.
A lot better. That was my point, is that, you know, and so, listen, let's be honest, sometimes Chet Holmgren's got pushed around a little bit in the post there. I thought Suggs is more impactful than Chet Holmgren. I really do. I understand first player going to be taken in the draft. I'm just talking about in the NCAA tournament, having a guy like Suggs is so big. So we'll have to see if they miss him this year.
You go from a backcourt with Suggs, Kispert, and Joel Ayayi to a backcourt that isn't even close. I mean, Nembhard's okay. You've got Bolton. Hickman comes in off the bench, the freshman. The guards are much better, or were a lot better last year. So I agree with you as far as that. Here's another interesting prop that I want to throw at you, and then I'll give you my national champion and you can make fun of me. More tournament wins. Baylor -120, Duke even money.
Wow, that's a tough one, because I don't like either team. I'll tell you why I would take Duke for this reason. I think if UNC gets by that first game, they're going to give Baylor trouble. It depends what Tar Heels team shows up in that first game. But I just think with Baylor, it's the injuries. Cryer's not going to play. You know, they lost their big guy down. Those are two big, big injuries that they have to deal with. I think they're a weak one seed. I'm no Duke fan, but my thing with Duke is I think Davidson will give them trouble. I think Michigan State's garbage. I think Duke can beat them and get to the Sweet 16.
I think Davidson's going to beat Michigan State.
Me too. And if that's the matchup, then I think you have a better chance. I would lean. That's a tough one for me, because I'm not high on either one of those two teams.
I saw your tweet, by the way. I have Texas, UNC, Colgate, Chattanooga, and Loyola in the Sweet 16. That's how you go 33 years without winning a bracket pool.
No doubt about it.
I don't think I've ever won the bracket pool. My grandma always used to win. My grandma would pick colors and mascots and whoop my ass.
Sam, let me ask you a quick question, because I think you got your finger on the pulse here. One of the things I like to look at with the talking heads is not so much the Cinderella picks. It's just a game that's dead even on paper, and they all go one way. This year, that game is Texas-Virginia Tech. I haven't seen one person pick Texas. So what are you hearing about that game?
Well, I have Texas in my bracket. Not that anybody gives a flying fuck about my bracket, but I talked to one guy who bets a lot of money, and those that listen to the show know who I'm talking about. He thinks the Big 12 is the best conference in the country, and he told me that he would put up the foursome of Kansas, Baylor, Texas, and Texas Tech over any other foursome from any other conference. And I respect when a guy like that says something like that. So I think that's sort of fresh in my brain, and that's why I put Texas ahead. But I also think the Big 12 is better than the ACC this year, and oftentimes I'll do that. I didn't blind fade Va Tech, but I think if Texas defends the way they can and you give me Chris Beard, I take Chris Beard in the first round. That's how I broke it down.
Yeah, I'm on the fence of betting Texas, and you might have just pushed me to place in a bet. You know how much agony and pain that's going to cause me this weekend?
Well, Virginia Tech has that recency bias, and I think
this
plays into a lot of the psychologicals, and psychologicals are oftentimes more than half of the equation when you're breaking down these games. Are you going to bet Texas, who flamed out early in the conference tournament, or are you going to bet Virginia Tech, which just won the ACC, and oh my God, I can get a point?
Right.
That's when you line up with a situation where, well, wait a minute, why is this line this close when Virginia Tech just won the ACC?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I like Texas. It's just betting them this season has taken 10 years off my life.
But that doesn't matter going into the tournament. You know that.
No, I know. I think it's a good matchup. I think Virginia Tech struggles with athletic guards that can pressure the ball. I do think this opens up good for Texas. I actually have Texas, you know, beating Purdue in the next round. So I don't know. I'm all over the place.
Well, let me make it simple for you. Don't look at the line. Don't look at the total. What's the final score? Virginia Tech and Texas. Just give me the first score that comes to your brain.
68-63, Texas.
Okay, so go over 123.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm probably gonna bet Texas. I was right there. I was last night. I had it in the queue when I was about to hit submit.
I love that you're almost 10 points over the market total, and you're like, nah, I'm still gonna take Texas. It's almost personal for you at this point.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, I'm not a very good totals better. If I'm being completely honest with you, that's not my strength.
No, the man knows what he's doing. And let's get you out of here with this. I am extremely bullish on how sharp I was before the season, because I got a nice spot on Kansas. I think we got a dime on 20-1 at one book in Las Vegas. So I'm a little bullish on them, probably more than I should be, because I look up and I see 7, 8, 9, 10-1. FanDuel's got 11-1. I put Kansas in my championship circle, and I can admit this wholeheartedly. I only have that because I picked them ahead of the season.
Well, I have Kansas at 18-1, and I have Auburn at 70-1. So that's the Casale bracket. I'm hoping for that in the Elite Eight and getting me one of those teams to the Final Four. I actually took Kansas just because I have a little bit more confidence in how they line up with their bracket. I actually think they have a pretty easy road to the Elite Eight. So, I don't mind that pick. I was starting to get nervous about Kansas at the end of the year, but again, you have to look at these draws, and I like the draw for Kansas. So I could definitely see them making the championship game.
I'm telling you, man, the way that conference plays defense, I think if anything, Kansas will – they will excel in this tournament. And I'm not saying they're going to win the whole thing. I hope they do. But when they had to face Baylor, Texas, Texas Tech, teams like that, it's not like the defense gets much better when you go through those three in the conference play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and those are, I mean, they're good. Listen, Texas Tech is a really good team. I know they're not as good on the road, but, you know, just matchup problems in the tournament. So, yeah, those are all good teams that could make runs. I definitely see, for me, I think the SEC and Big 12 are above everyone else. I think those two conferences were really tough this year, and some of the other bigger conferences weren't quite as good.
That's Tom Casale at the Tom Casale. Please check our guy out on NBC Sports Bet. He breaks down college buckets and college football. I'll be pulling for Kansas, and if you get Kansas Auburn, buddy, drinks are on you next time, okay?
Sounds good. I'll buy you anything you want if we get Kansas Auburn.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Tom Casale for hopping on the show. We are brushing our teeth extra hard heading into the Thursday and Friday slates. One more time, Vermont +5, Iowa -10, Providence -2, Michigan -140, Georgia State +23.5, Akron +14. On Friday, Davidson +1, Colgate +7.5, Texas -15, that's -115 on the money line, and Loyola to win the game. Loyola, pick 'em. We will dive inside the NFL draft markets with the coach, Mike Helfgott, later on this week. Cash some tickets, make some money. We'll talk to you next time right here on Chicken Dinner. So.